Nehemiah, the fifth chapter, as you can tell, we will be having the Lord's Supper right after the invitation, and so you have an opportunity. The Bible says we are to examine ourselves, and the best way to do that is with the Word of God, and so I would encourage you to listen and ask God to speak to your heart as we continue our study in Nehemiah, Nehemiah 5 and verse 1. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we our sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we may buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children are as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons, our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them for other men of our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words, and then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. And I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them even this day their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the wine, the oil that ye exact of them. And then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. And I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Father, I pray that you will bless our time now, and I ask you, Lord, for your guidance and direction as we study your word, that you will teach us from your word, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll guide us into the truth of the scripture. Lord, I pray that those things that would apply to us, that would help us, God, it would be brought to our attention, and that we'll be different because of tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention to verse 8, which is where I get the title, and I guess we'll call it our text. He says here, will ye even sell your brethren? Will ye even sell your brethren? Good question there in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 8. Will ye even sell your brethren? Last week I spoke on the cry of the poor, and really we just started with verse 1 and dealt with poor people in general, and their cry, and how we need to do all that we can to help. But I'm being a little more specific this week, and especially in the context of the scripture here, and this is a great question. Will ye even sell your brethren? Now, in our text, he's talking about finances. Obviously, we realize that the people here, the cry, is people that are poor financially. But I think this question could apply to any situation in a church setting. I think it could apply to any situation where people are taking advantage of their brethren for their own gain. In other words, they're causing their brethren to suffer so that they might gain something. Obviously here, the gain was financial. The gain was land. The gain was possession and power and all those things. And they literally were taking advantage of their brethren for that kind of gain. By the way, will you even sell your brethren? Could be a question asked right here at Berean Baptist Church. Would you take advantage of somebody? Would you take advantage of their situation to try to gain something for yourself? Would you dare take advantage of somebody's sorrow, somebody's pain, to maybe boost yourself up a little bit in the sight of other people? Oh, you know, it happens all the time. in our independent fundamental Baptist church. It happens all the time with our teenagers. It happens all the time with young people. Certainly, in chapter 5, I mentioned this last week, it is very important because we just ended chapter 4 with the enemy outside the wall, ready to storm the wall, but God stopped them by giving Nehemiah the plan to stand firm and to take the stand and defend the wall and let the enemy know we're defending our wall. But on the inside, there was another enemy. And I mentioned this last week. The enemy without was on hold. They had been stopped in their advance to knock down the wall. And the enemy without had been put on hold to deal with, I think, even a greater enemy. I think an enemy that causes more devastation. I think an enemy that is actually more dangerous to the success of the wall than really the enemy on the outside. We know the story, and we know the teaching, which is more dangerous, hundreds of the enemy without or one Achan within. This passage is about the protection of the walls from the inside. Will ye even sell your brethren? Would you do evil to your brothers and sisters in Christ so you could gain something? That is the question tonight. Those who would profit from the suffering of those who in verse 5, their flesh is as our flesh. Your children as our children. Would you sell those people for your own gain? Would you sell them for your own popularity? Would you sell them for your own financial gain? Will ye even sell your brethren? I want to give you some points and go through this passage. Number one is the request. The request, and we mentioned the cry of the poor. We didn't really talk a lot about it. But here in this passage, the request was really for three things. And the first thing is the most obvious, that is for food. Food, and food certainly is a necessity. And in verse 2, they talk about it and said, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. They had to have food. They had to have food in order to eat and live. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We have to have food. And the request here was a simple request. They said, we need food. Could we have some food, please? One of the requests was food. Second request was for finances. Notice in verse 4, and we all understand this. They said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute. What's a king's tribute? Anybody want to break that down to our day? Yeah, taxes. Well, we know all about that, don't we? I mean, they had to borrow money to pay their taxes. They had to borrow money and they needed finances. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. We have to pay taxes. Say, bless God, I'm a Christian. I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to pay my taxes. You're taking the wrong stand. Well, we don't amen that real hard. But anyway, I mean, they're having a hard time. They need food. We've got to eat. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is a good request. They needed finances because they had to pay their taxes. But the third request they have here is for something that we really take for granted. That was for freedom. What are you talking about, preacher? Verse 2, there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. We take up corn for them. Literally, they had to sell their sons and daughters. They had to mortgage their houses and lands. Verse 3, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses. And then notice in verse 5, not only in verse 2 they say we sold our sons and daughters, but in verse 5 it says, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children are as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. They not only had to sell their sons and daughters, they had to sell other sons and daughters because they could not buy back the ones they sold previously. Because they mortgaged their lands. They wanted freedom. This was a great request. Food, finances, and freedom. They just kept going deeper in debt. They said, we cannot buy them back. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, we're looking at finances here, and this is very obvious in Scripture that that's what it's about. But I know a lot of people who, you're not free either. Because of these very same things. I mean, you just keep going deeper and deeper in debt. Here's a quote by Pastor Rogers. You can write it down. Credit cards are designed to make the lender money. Amen. You say, preacher, everybody knows. No, you don't. You read their little letter that they wrote that said, congratulations. We've given you a credit card. And you said, wow. They love me. You thought that was the greatest thing. I remember my first credit card. I said, wow, I'm important. I have a credit card. These people think I'm something. Yeah, they thought I was something, all right. Hello? Listen to me. Credit cards are designed to make... Okay, Fred Master of MasterCard. You know him, don't you? Cecil Visa? Wow, try to say that one three times real fast. Notice I whispered it. Let me tell you something. Okay, those people, they are out to make money. Your money. Okay, you need to understand that. Now, I have credit. I have three credit cards in my wallet right now. All right, I have them. They don't have me. Okay, some of you, your credit cards have you, and you just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. You're just like the folks here. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can become poor with credit cards fast. You better be careful. And I'm just throwing that in because the request here, these people are poor because literally they sold everything. They mortgaged everything. They sold their children. They could not redeem them. They could not afford to buy them back. They couldn't even trade land for their kids because their land was already mortgaged out. There's nothing they could do. And do not get in that position, folks. It is not worth it for the thrill. It's not worth it. Now again, I throw all that in because this is today and we don't deal with some of these same things, but we deal with things like that. And I really want to take advantage of understanding the mess they're in. By the way, they did not bring this on themselves necessarily. Okay? Sometimes we do. The request. Number two, the reason. The reason. There is a reason for the mess that they're in. And in every case here, as far as these folks are, and by the way, we're talking about a lot of people here, the reason is not necessarily their fault. Verse 2 it says, for their word that said, we are sons and our daughters, notice what it says, are many. And in this day, there was a huge amount of immigration. And as people heard about the walls being built, more and more people were coming in and moving there. And certainly they were fleeing some of the wicked, wicked governments that were around them. And people were coming from all around. This, I'm just saying, it was not the fault of these people that there was overpopulation. It's not necessarily their fault. You know, we all have opinions about immigration and all those different things. And somewhere along the line, we need to thank God for it because we're immigrants. But on the other side of that, we people need to be willing to obey the laws and do their part when they immigrate to a country and rather than come in and say, well, I want to be immediately on your welfare system and you can support me and take care of me. And I'm not getting into all the politics of that. I'm just saying there were some innocent people here who were the victims of overpopulation. There just wasn't enough land and food to go around. Another one of the reasons for the request that they made is found in verse 3, and that is it says, we might buy corn because of the dearth. There was great famine in the land. By the way, I only mention that because that wasn't their fault either. Not necessarily their fault. And then we already mentioned another one of the reasons, the third reason, and that is in verse 4, we borrowed money for the king's tribute, taxes. Taxes. And that wasn't necessarily their fault either. Now I say all that because I'm looking at brethren here who are trying to do right, and they are overcome with some circumstances that have caused them to be financially in trouble, and circumstances that have caused them to actually have to sell their children to as servants. And I'm talking about some people here, they didn't necessarily bring this on themselves, but it's happened. Now there are folks all over who are in trouble, and it's your own fault. You know, the Bible says we're going to reap what we sow. And we cause ourselves lots of trouble. Sometimes it's foolishness. And we get ourselves in trouble. You've heard me tell the story of my wife buying that grocery store. Praise the Lord, I got her out of that one. We make foolish decisions. And actually, she didn't. I did. Kayla, it's okay. She, I can't believe it. But when you break the law, you're making a foolish decision. It'll get you in all kinds of trouble. It'll get you in financial trouble. Once you get in financial trouble with the law, and you have to pay fines, and you have to pay all kinds of, just, it's unbelievable all the different things. And you, maybe you lose your license, and you get it, you know, it just becomes a pit that it's very hard to crawl out of. But I'm just saying, these people, as far as we can tell, as I've studied this, none of this was really their fault. They are poor. They are hurting. They are going through a tough time. And it's not because of anything, as far as we can tell, anything that they have done. But the fourth reason is really the main thing I want to talk about. And the fourth reason is the thing Nehemiah is so angry about in verse 6. I mean, certainly he's angry that, and he's saddened that these people are going through this sorrow. He's saddened that they've had to sell their children. He's saddened that they've sold property that was passed down from great-great-grandpa. And that is a very sacred thing in this day. He's saddened by all those things. But the thing that I believe Nehemiah is so angry about is because of the fourth reason. And that is they were being taken advantage of by those who saw opportunity to make a buck off of their poverty. They saw an opportunity to make money, to make gain off of the suffering of their brethren. And that caused verse 6. Now, I'm not going to say a lot about verses 6 and 7. Maybe a little bit, because I'm going to preach on that another time. But I'm just saying, you know, listen. Being taken advantage of by people that saw an opportunity to make money off of their circumstances. Somebody that, you know, it's so true, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, do you understand that if there are marital problems in this room, and there are, that many of them are because of money. Do you understand if there are friend problems in this room, and there are some, do you know that many of them are because of money? I mean, church members, if there are squabbles going on, and there are, I can, you know, most of the time, right in the center of there, it's going to be money. It's going to be a thing. Nehemiah, in verse, hey, we're building walls. There's an enemy out there that wants to knock our walls down. Hey, let's get together here. And he says, Will ye even sell your brethren? Would you sell your brothers and would you sell your brethren out for a buck? I mean, he can't even believe it. Gain at another person's expense. It's kind of like the the hurricane that hit down in New Orleans and the people charging extra for wood. You know, now I'm not talking about because of the demand. I'm talking about, you know, the fact that it costs more to get. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about people that jack the prices because you got to have wood. I'm talking about on 9/11. I remember it very well. Kevin and I were mowing grass with his business, and when the towers went down that afternoon, many of the gas stations in town raised the price of gas to $5 a gallon to try to take advantage of people panicking. Are you listening? And in fact, the government had to say, "Hey, you cannot do that. We'll shut you down." You remember that? I realize $5 a gallon is not a bad deal nowadays, but back then, I mean, they raised it. It was like $3 a gallon raise, just because, not because they paid more for it, are you listening? But because they saw a panic and they said, "We'll gouge the people." See, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what Nehemiah is upset about. People that are suffering, people that are hurting, we're going to take advantage of that so we can gain something. You know, that is wicked. That is selling your brethren.
Right.
And you know, honestly, the first thing I thought of when I read this, and certainly the financial aspect is a part of it, but the thing I thought of as far as our day, Berean Baptist Church, the first thing I thought of was gossip. So why do you talk about that? Because I hate it. And you know, we can have a focus on the enemy and be ready holding our spears and letting them gleam and glisten in the light and our shields, and the enemy see it and back off. But inside, wait until one of our brethren is hurting and then start gossiping to build ourselves up. And it's just unbelievable to me. Which is worse, to be stabbed in the chest by the enemy's spear, or to be stabbed in the back by your brother's sword? I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have the arrow between the eyes than the dagger in the fifth rib in the back. And that's why Nehemiah is so upset here. It says he was very angry when he heard their cry. Very angry. Sowing discord. Oh, I'll make them look worse. It is unbelievable to me. And all it is somebody will listen to you spread gossip about someone else, and that builds you up, you think. That is so unchristian. It is so ungodly. It's so out of hell that you would tear at somebody who's down. I've watched it as a pastor. What is it? Someone once said that Christians, they had the feeling that Christians were the only people that shoot their wounded or something like that. I don't know exactly what but that's, you know, that's how it is. They're wounded, so we'll kick them. Where's love? Where's compassion? And again, you know, the worst thing. Okay, all these things are happening, but I think we can overcome them if we'll just help each other out. But instead of reaching out and helping these folks, they're gouging them and getting more money from them. And so comes number three, and that's the rebuke. We've seen number one, the request, number two, the reason, and then number three is the rebuke. And I'm telling you, Nehemiah is not happy. And here's why he's not happy. First of all, the people were not being considerate. Verse 5, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren. In other words, we're the same here. Your children. He says, our children as their children. You know when a family is down and out and people gossip about them, do you understand? Their children are like your children. Their children hurt like your children would hurt, but yet, oh, we're raising ourselves up. That's what he's saying here. He said, hey, the children they had to sell, they're just like your children. They're weeping. They're hurting. If your children were in that situation, they would be devastated. That's what he said. You're not thinking about this. Lo, we bring into bondage our sons, our daughters to be servants. Some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is in our power to redeem them, for other men have our land. They said, well, there's nothing we have. There is no way we can get out of this thing. Why wouldn't you consider that? The next time you lie about somebody, the next time you gossip about someone, next time you sow discord about someone, do you ever think about their children? And what their children are going to have to go through because of your gossip that made you feel so important at that moment? Not considerate. But you know, the second thing he rebukes them about is they're not obeying God. Because he says in verse 6, and I'll just read it, I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words. But notice what he says. He says in verse 7 in the middle, ye exact usury every one of his brother. I like what he did. He said, I set a great assembly against him. He called everybody in and said, here, we're going to deal with this right now. You say, well, preacher, that's all well and good, but I don't understand what that's talking about. That's why you have a preacher. I'm going to explain to you what it's talking about. Ye exact usury. In other words, they're charging their brethren interest on food and money that they've loaned them. You say, well, the bank does that. Yeah, but we're not banks. So Brother John says, preacher, I'm hungry. And I say, well, look, I'll loan you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but you need to give me two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches back. So that sounds like a good deal. Well, it'd be a real good deal because I know Brother John's would want three or four, which means I'd get six or eight. So preachers, you know, I mean, that's just business. We're not supposed to be doing business like that. Not when our brother's hurting. Boy, it's getting quiet. It always scares me when it gets quiet. I'm just trying to, you know, we're trying to do Christ-like things.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about business. In business, it's different. I'll show you that. But you know, according to the Bible, look if you will. Let's just quit talking about it. Look in the Bible. Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. And verse 36. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Hello? In other words, I'm not... If you want to borrow my rake, you can borrow my rake. Amen. I'm not supposed to charge you for it. You say I've got to put out a garden, and you know it's for my family to survive, and you know you can have all the tools I've got. You can use them all. That's fine. If my hose will reach far enough, you can use our water. That's fine. How much you want? Nothing. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Nothing. Well, you ought to. Well, what about a good deal? That's the best deal in the world. You obey God. So it says, for a brother, that's how it's supposed to be. Oh, it's so quiet. I love it. Deuteronomy 23, look at it. Deuteronomy 23. How about just doing right? Taking advantage. Verse 19, Deuteronomy 23:19, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. But notice what it says. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee. Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it? That's a novel idea that God would bless, right? In all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So in non-commercial situations, in where my brother has a need, my brother has to survive, I'm supposed to just loan him things and not charge him a dime. Well, but preach, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to say. Why? Well, because the truth of the matter is, I mean, you know, we're brothers. These guys were making money off their brethren. Not in a commercial way, but they had made it a commercial. They had made their suffering and their pain commercial. They made it a business. Now, certainly, by the way, you know, we talked about the poor last week. And, you know, Jesus, and I can't think of the scripture, but I did make a reference to it last week. But the idea of giving to rich people or giving to wealthy people, you know, loaning them, knowing they'll probably pay you back with more. What, you know, Jesus said, what's the big deal there? That rich people do that. The heathen do that. The heathen give with the hope to gain. When you give to somebody who you know will never give you anything back, you're doing something Jesus would do. Because what are you doing? You're knowing God's going to take care of you. Amen. Man, this is good stuff. And now, commercial, you know, where you're in a business, Matthew 25:27. I mean, certainly there's nothing wrong with that and nothing wrong with making money because we need your tithe. Amen. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Certainly, in a business sense, we need to make money, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's all right. But again, if somebody's poor and they're starving and they're suffering and you can't give them food without saying, well, you need to write me a promissory note, you're not a very good Christian. If you can't lend them $10, by the way, and I've said this many, many times, and I practice this myself, if you loan it to somebody, you better, just in your own heart, you ought to decide you've given it to them. That way you'll always be friends. I don't know how many, I cannot even, I mean, I look out and I've leaned, I don't know. Anyway, given, it's hard to even imagine. And some, I've never gotten it back. But you know what? I don't even know. I don't even care. It does not matter because in my heart, if I loan it, I give it. And I know always after I say that, I'll have people after the service come up. Could I borrow $5? And I'm used to that. But the point is, I do not want to fight with anybody over something silly like money. And I'm telling you, if you're hurting, I'll do everything I can to help you. You need a meal? I'll do everything I can to get you a meal. Amen. Amen. And there's nobody in here that could say that that's not true. I practice what I preach. And we need to do that as Christians. But we need to do it in all areas, not just financial, but also in why in the world would we sell our brethren to make ourselves look good? Whether it's financial gain or whether it's gain in other people's eyes or whatever. Like when somebody's down and we say, see, I told you so. Look at them. I told you they'd end up like that. How about brother, let me help you up? Amen. Why do we delight in other people's sorrow? Why do we delight in other people falling? Why do we delight in their troubles and their trials as if, you know, well, that proves I was right. But it's not about that. It's about helping your brother in need and not taking advantage of their being down. That's exactly what Nehemiah is upset about. Somebody needs to be an example of love and kindness and not seeking gain from other people's pain. And that's what Nehemiah was. In verse 8, he said, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews. Nehemiah is saying, I took whatever I could, and I have redeemed some of their children back. I've bought them back and sent them to their families. We've redeemed them. And that's when he asked, will ye even sell your brethren? What are you doing? You're just making them more and more unable to redeem their children. Here's a dad. He has sold his children. They're working like slaves in a heathen home. And they're working for nothing. And the dad and the mom do not have their children. And they have no way to get them back. And what'd they sell them for? For food. And Nehemiah's shaking his head like, where are you people? What are you thinking? It is amazing. He said, I've done all I can. You know, it's interesting as he goes on about this. The Bible says in verse 8, by the way, the whole assembly is gathered, and I like that. Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. You know, what are you going to say? You know, if we put the screen down and we showed all, if somehow God would let it happen, and we need to be thankful he doesn't. But if somehow we put the screen down and showed how right here, Berean Baptist Church, people have gained from other people's sorrow. Maliciously, purposely. Boy, that would be a sobering thing, wouldn't it? And I think it would be like verse 8, they held their peace and found nothing to answer. Boy. And Nehemiah, the rebuke is clear. He also mentions number 4, the reproach. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? And I'm going to tell you something. Our testimony needs to start meaning something. People, you know, they will know we're Christians by our love one to another. Bless God, I take a good stand. Okay, but do you love your brethren? Because that's how the world is watching us. They are not watching your good stand. Now, we ought to take a good stand. I preach about that. It's what building the wall is all about. But they're not watching your stand. You know what they're listening for? They're listening for this kind of stuff right here. Well, they say they go to Berean Baptist Church, but all they ever do is talk bad about it. Well, they invited me to their church, but they're always talking bad about that one deacon. Well, they've invited me to their church, but they're always talking bad about several of the families in that church. Why would I want to go there? They'll know we're Christians by our love one to another. What is the last thing you did for your brethren? Huh? Reproach. What a terrible thing. By the way, he says the reproach of the heathen, our enemies, they're outside the wall wanting to knock down the wall. and they're listening for everything they can. And you know, the world is listening for everything negative they can find. They really are. The last thing, number 5, was the remedy. And I love it. I mean, it's good stuff. Because again, you know, all the folks are gathered. The whole assembly's there. They're all looking on. That's the poor people, the rich people, that's everybody. And the remedy is very simple. First of all, Nehemiah says in verse 10, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you let us leave all this usury. He said, we're going to give them some money and some corn. He said, me, my brethren, my servants. He said, we are going to help out. Isn't that good? He said, whatever we have, we're going to help them. He said, let us leave off this usury. He's making it very clear. If I give them an ear of corn, they don't have to give me 2 back. In fact, I'm just going to feed them. I'm just going to give it to them. I'm going to help them out. I'm going to be a blessing to them. If they never pay me, that's fine. If they do, that's fine. I don't care. But I'm not charging them for the use of these things. He said, I will give them money and food. Then he really gets excited. Verse 11, he says, restore, I pray you, to them, even this day. Okay, just to eat. Here's a guy, Brother Pickenball says, he said, look, my family has to eat. And I said, all right. I said, let me have your cars and your computer. And here's enough food for a week. That's not a very good deal, is it? I don't know, your car, computer. Yeah, you're right. But so now he has no car and no computer. Are you listening? Brother Kelvin Cook, he's got to eat. And his family, they eat a lot. I'm telling you. And he's got to eat. And I said, all right, let me have your land, your house, your land. And here's some food. And now he doesn't have any house or land. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, so here's what Nehemiah said, okay, give them back their property. Give them back their land. Give them back their vineyards. They sell their vineyard. They cannot make any more money. Give them their houses. Again, all of this was done in an unfair way. It was taking advantage of these people. It wasn't they sold their house for a good price. It was, if you'll give us some food, you can have the mortgage on our house. And people said, ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah. Taking advantage. He said, okay, give them all that back. But here's what I like. Now we get into some interest. Also, the 100th part of the money and of the corn, the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. That was their usury that they were charging. 1/100th per month is what they were charging, or 12% interest is what they had received from these people, and the people were going broke. 12% interest. Yeah. Which, you say, well, that's a good deal. It's not when you're starving and you're not getting what your things are worth and you're paying the 12% interest. So they not only had to give back the property and the land and all that, they also had to pay back the 12% interest that they had paid. And then they agreed. Verse 12. Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Notice Nehemiah, though, do you understand? You say, well, this isn't that big a deal. Well, I'm telling you, to Nehemiah, it was a pretty big deal. You know, to a pastor, getting us to take care of each other, it is a big deal. Amen. Getting Christians to love one another like they're supposed to, like the Bible says, it is a huge deal. It was such a big deal to Nehemiah. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them. He said, all right, let's bring in all the priests. Priests, I want you to hear what they have to say. We will restore everything. Did you hear that, priest? Write it down. They took an oath. Isn't that good? Why did he do it? That they should do according to this promise. So they couldn't go back on it because he knew Christian people's nature. Boy, you know what I'd love to do? You know how Brother Varnum would have the burn barrel out there and everything? You know, I'd love for people to make an oath that they'd never gossip again. In front of the priests. Isn't that good? Verse 13, also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house. Now he's putting on a curse if they break their promise. I love that. He's pretty serious. So God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be shaken out and emptied. Watch this. And all the congregation said, amen. And praise the Lord. Now, all the congregation, you have to understand, most of them had been done wrong by all those people. And the whole big bunch of them, they're saying, amen! Praise the Lord! And the rich people, because all the congregation, they're saying, amen, praise the Lord. But you know what? It says the people did according to this promise. Amen. And what a wonderful thing that was. Because now the enemy stopped outside the wall, and the enemy stopped inside the wall. And you know what? You can keep building when both enemies are stopped. You can keep building. Will ye sell your brethren? What would you do to increase your popularity? What would you do to increase your influence? You see the politics and everything. Politics where somebody will literally spread lies and garbage to increase their chance to win. Spread lies and garbage to increase their popularity. Oh, good. I mean, isn't that something? Out in the world, we see all that. How sad that that happens right inside the church. What would you do to increase your own life? What would you do to gain for yourself? Will you even sell your brethren? Oh, we'll sell out our stand. for pleasure. We'll sell out our convictions for a little fun. We'll sell out a weekend because, bless God, I'm right and she's wrong. We'll sell out a lot of things, but will you even sell your brethren so you can be right? Will you even sell your brethren so that you can gain money? Will you even sell your brethren so you can be more popular? What's it worth? And that's the big question. What's it worth? You know, we should always be ready to help our brethren all the time, anytime. Certainly never to take advantage. Let's bow our heads.